Brother Bill, you're our senior elder. Would you mind praying for us this morning?
Sure. My Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can be here this morning. What a blessing it is, Father, together with our brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you for your love and for peace and the way that gives us life, Father. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that lives in us and pray for you. We'll always be open to your Spirit. Let your Spirit guide us in our thoughts. Father, there's been another mention this morning that we want to lift up to you, especially want to lift up to you now. Kay and Tom, thank you so much that Kay is improving. We just pray that you continue to lead us. We do pray, Father, for Ed that was mentioned. Pray, Joe, and others, for Father, that has the same problem that you do with the healing that they so need. Father, we pray for our brother, Dr. Hennigan, that away from us. And I just pray that you lead us into this meeting. He is in Florida. We pray that you would have him to this possible time there for you. And we pray that we lead him to take care of him. Father, we do thank those that are caregivers. Such a hard thing for your loved ones. We just pray that you bless them. The strength that they need. Father, a couple of individuals being married, and this is a great, wonderful thing. Pray your blessings to be with them. Get them to have a good Christian marriage. Father, please be with Toby this morning as he leads in discussions. Help us all and keep our minds and our hearts open to your word. Thank you for your grace and your love. Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Now, I know that Dr. Hennigan finished up his study on the book of Romans, but I want to go back through Romans again.
You want to get it right.
On a kind of a survey type thing. Well, you know, I started a couple years ago with our work on faith. I'm still working on that. It beats me up pretty good. But I still, and I'm getting too old to get into some of this kind of stuff, but I still like to argue with myself about what I think I believe. And so I'm going to go back into Romans and pick up some verses that talk about faith. And since this is a Bible study, I thought we ought to take the time to read the verses, and whenever I get a chance to say something, I will. I'm going to skip the first four sections that I'm going to pick up as I go through, but I'm going to deal with the first chapter of Romans myself, but I want us to read. So I'm going to give you some scriptures, and just raise your hand real quick. Now, I've got about 14 or 15 here, so just be ready to read for me. I need somebody to read Romans 3:27. Okay, back there in the back, thank you. 3:28, Roger, got it? Okay, thank you. 4:5, okay, thank you. 4:9, okay, thank you. 4:11, thank you. 4:13, thank you. 4:16, thank you. 5:1, thank you. 5:2, thank you. 9:30, thank you. 10:17. 10:17, 12:3, 12:3, okay, thank you, and 14:23, thank you. Okay, before we turn to that though, I want to remind you once again of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay. I want to suggest to you that what is hoped for is oneness. Okay? Oneness with God, and through Christ Jesus, oneness with one another. I think that's the substance that we're hoping for. think all of us are, we talk about heaven, but I think heaven's an afterthought. Whether there's a heaven or not, there is a God. And he talks about it all the time through the scriptures. That he's one with the Father, and he wants us to be one with him, and he wants us and him to be one with the Father, so we'll all be one. That's the hope of the world, is oneness with God through Christ Jesus. Are you okay with that? Okay. And I think we have to deal with the evidence of things not seen. We'll work on that as we go along. But let's read these scriptures. It's Bible study time, and I sometimes think I get caught up more in what I want to say than what the scripture says. And so I want us to read about Paul talking about faith, okay? Okay, let's go with 3:27.
So do we have a reason to boast about ourselves? No. And why not? It is the way of faith that stops all boasting, not the way of following the law.
Okay. By the law of faith, not by the law of the priest. Okay, 3:28.
Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Yeah, now, I want to suggest to you, that's simply saying to you, you can't work your way into salvation. You can't think your way into salvation. I think that's, justification, by the way, is a most of the time at least, it's a financial word. It's balancing the books, being in balance. So being justified is being in balance with God. That's a pretty good place to be. And Paul is saying, whatever else you do with the law, it is not going to bring you justification. Now let's keep in mind, that's coming from a devout Pharisaical Hebrew to make that statement. That's kind of interesting for it. Okay, let's go to 4:5.
However, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness.
You see why I'm still studying these kinds of things? Faith is counted for righteousness. I want to suggest to you that's a different kind of faith than you and I usually look at. Okay? 4:9.
Is this blessedness then for the circumcision or also for the uncircumcision? What we say, faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness.
Yeah. May I remind you that that is before he was circumcised. Before the law. Before they're coming out of Egypt. Paul, the Hebrew scholar, is saying there was something righteous about Abraham long before all this other stuff that we pour into there. And can you still go back to your younger days and remember all the things the church poured into you? That now you say to yourself, why? Why? I think I've told you this before. I don't know how old I was before I knew my middle name wasn't No-No. I mean, in the church, My Baptist friends used to ask me, well, you tell us a lot about what you don't do. Tell me, what do you do? That's interesting. Okay, 4:11.
And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised, so that he would become the father of all those who believe but have never been circumcised, that they too could have righteousness credited to them.
That's something. The seat of righteousness does not lie within you and me. The seat of righteousness comes from the one who makes you righteous. It's a gift of God. 4:13.
For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith.
See, you see why I'm having to really work on these things? Have you ever thought about the righteousness of faith? Righteousness is an interesting term. It one of the things that comes out of it is God's holiness. So that he wants us to be like him. And you can't be like him unless he makes you like him. That's kind of complicated. I get this complication all the time. Do I have to do something to be saved? Well, yeah, but no. You can't do anything to be saved, but you've got to do something if you are saved. What is it? You have got to accept God as your God. Let's go to 4:13. I just did down 4:16.
For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
Wow. Now, remember, this is a Jewish fella writing to the Christians in Rome. And he talks about faith and grace. I hate to think of it this way, but I think I was taught as I'm growing up that you have to show your faith. Very few people tell you where you get that faith from. It is not our faith. It is a gift of God. You're not going to have faith if God's not involved. Not biblical faith. You may have some other kind of faith. You may believe a lot of things, but the faith that gets you in contact with God is a gift of grace. And so I'm still working on this idea of putting faith and grace together here. Because that's two marvelous things that are beyond your control and mine. Well, let's see. Let's just go on. I'm at 5:1.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow. That seems like such a trite statement, and yet it is so powerful. Have you ever asked yourself, are you really at peace with God? Can you go to him at any time, under any circumstances, with any kind of a situation you're dealing with, and know that he's your father? I love that little commercial where Sugar Ray Leonard's son is running down through the gym and his dad's sitting up there in the corner of a ring having just worked out. These little guys are all excited about, oh, there's the world champion, there's the world champion. Oh, no, he said, that's my daddy. Oh, you know, we don't get intimate enough like that with God. So many things goes on in our lives that are a God thing that we really ought to remind people. This is of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I want to suggest to you too that it's not a simple little thing that Paul is making that closing statement through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's talking to some Jews in Rome as well as he is non-Jews in Rome. And not everybody remember in his day as it is today. Except that Jesus Christ is the God-man. Do you realize how many people around you every day have no real true concept of that? Oh, they'll celebrate Christmas and Easter, but that'll be with Santa Claus and a bunny rabbit. For you and me, it's something vastly deeper than that. Well, let's go to 5:2.
Through whom also we have our access by faith within his grace, wherein we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Well, now it's not faith by grace, it's faith in this grace. Faith into grace. That's interesting, isn't it? I'm afraid we give ourselves too much credit sometimes. We think we really accomplished something when really, if God had not been in it, it would have been a mess. In fact, I made some pretty big messes out of things he was involved in. Like the church. I can really mess up the church. I can mess up a Sunday school class. I can mess up a Bible study. Well, let's go to 9:30.
What shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness obtained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Paul is stepping out of bounds here. But I can remember stepping out of bounds when I was a boy growing up, because if you weren't Nazarene, you weren't Christian. That just almost came through our teaching. I've met some Baptist people that felt the same way. Almost all Catholics feel that way. I don't think the Church of Christ feels that way. But I hear some mumbling going on over there. Yeah. If you're going to be righteous, it's not going to be because of your denomination. It's going to be because of the faith that God grants you to have. Well, 10:17.
So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
By the word of Christ? Does somebody else have the word of God?
I do.
Yeah, word of God in it. No difference. They are one and the same, you know. So faith comes by hearing the word. You understand that? I don't. I'm still working on that one. Unless I go back and say to me, well, God and the word are one. If that's the case, then what God is trying to get me to understand through Christ Jesus is that his gospel is where I'm going to find what I'm looking for. And it will find me when I'm not looking for it. That's the wonderful thing.
The New English includes, and what is heard comes through the preached word of Christ.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But see, they put the preaching in there because of, it's going to come through the word whether you preach it or not. Yeah. And what amazes me is whoever the rascal is that's preaching, the word will still come through. I marvel at some of these people I hear preaching now and how what's going on in their lives and stuff. And I've met people that I knew was not right with God. But they'd get in a pulpit and preach, and people would go to the altar and pray and be saved. Why? Well, because it's not the deliverer that counts. It's what's being told that God uses to penetrate your heart and mind. That's why I think studying the scripture is so interesting. You find something fresh and new all the time. Yes, sir.
What I think, I just feel a lot of times so tragic. You know, I get to work at a school in New York, Tribeca, where the truth can be broadcast widely, and you see life in truth. There's life in that.
Mm.
We run into so many people that the truth is around them, but somehow it's not absorbed, it's not recognized for what it is. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's why I like coming here. We're hearing the word. And the word penetrates our hearts. And how will they hear unless somebody speaks? We really, as Christians, need to speak up more often than we do. And speak more about spiritual things than we do about other things. Yes, sir?
The New English also says that faith is awakened by the word, by the message.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go to 12:3.
12:3, let's see. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you.
Wow. Now, that troubled me a little bit. You can see why I'm having to still work on this. Why is God going to give you more faith than he gives me? Or maybe he's going to give you a different kind of faith than he's going to give me. He knows what each of us needs. That's the beautiful thing. He knows what I need even when I don't know what I need. And through his word, he can penetrate me. And sometimes through the preaching of the word, or the speaking of the word, or the sharing of the word, he gets through to you and me. Yes, sir.
So you started off this discussion by saying that faith is a unity between us and God. And I've been pondering that as proceeding with this. But there was a circumstance when my father was over in Africa that he was being charged by elephants. And back here in the States, over in Western Pennsylvania, there was a little lady washing her windows, and the Lord spoke to her and said, you need to get to the bottom of your stepladder and pray for Bob Smith over in Africa. He's in danger. And she said that at that moment, she said, Lord, I'll do that just as soon as I'm finished with this pane of glass. And she said, the Lord spoke back to me immediately and said, you don't have that much time. She said, I got to the bottom of that ladder and knelt. And she said there was a unity that came because my faith took hold and the burden was lifted immediately. Mm-hmm. And she said, and I got back up and she went and wrote this down. And of course, when they did their comparisons between the times that were involved in that, when those elephants were charging my father, she was on her knees praying.
And it
there is a unity.
And isn't it interesting that it didn't have to do with her, it didn't have to do with the elephant, it didn't have to do with your dad, it had to do with God intervening. Folks, God can step into your light anytime he wants to. And he does it sometimes when we don't know it. I'm glad. But that's true. But it doesn't come from the individual, it doesn't come from the animals, it comes from God. I will say this to you. If you hear God speaking, pay attention.
Elephants never disobey God.
14:23. Who had 14:23?
I do. I just
kind of
get your eyes focused.
Right.
But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from the from faith is sin.
I'm still working on that one. I'm still working on that one. But you see, that's very true. If you're going to attach faith and God together, you can see why Paul would say that's sin. And I have to tell you this. I'm looking for this. I haven't found it what satisfies me yet. But I'm trying to figure out what did the Hebrew people consider sin, other than I do know that if you broke the law, that was sin. And I do know that if you weren't a Jew, you were a sinner. I know that's in their concept, but when this guy Paul says whatever is not of faith is sin, you know, my problem is I've been through too many theological studies. I mean, you know, you get through different kinds of theology and you hear all these great minds come and talk to you about their great thinkings and stuff, and you walk away there and say, what did he just say? But if you're going to attach faith and God together again, you won't have a problem with it. But I'm still working on it. I want to say too, my hope in my life is that some way I will be able to find and share this one. But I'm hung up with this problem of being boastful rather than humble. I'm hung up with so many of my own traits that I keep asking the Lord, how can this oneness keep me at the level where you want me so that you can be exhibited through my life? So others will not see me, but will see you. You want to know why I keep trying to teach the word? That's why. In hopes that somewhere out there in all of this, God will find his spark in somebody's life that he can talk to them and say, I got a message for you. Hear him. Listen to him. Not because you or I are speaking, but because the Holy Spirit can speak through us. And that's why I'm asking the Lord every day. And I keep singing this little song, oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. That's my prayer of the day. Well, the evidence of things not seen. I'm really working on that. Now, illustrations break down, you know that. They probably raise more questions than they give answers to. But I want to try one this morning. Evidence of things not seen. Brought it with me. My brother was a beekeeper. My oldest brother, Charles, kept bees. He was crazy. He'd walk out there with nothing but a little smoker thing. And he'd walk right there, talk to those bees.
He was crazy.
And he said to me, you know, every bee in that hive has a job to do. The queen bee keeps it populated. But he said, there are some bees in there that all they do is stand around there and flap their wings to keep the temperature in there correct. He said, there are others that go out every day and fly for miles around and pick up nectar and bring it back in and give it to another set of bees who will go and find a place in the honeycomb that's been made by another set of bees. And they will make honey and put it in that comb. He said, some other bees. Now he said, look at those right there. See those guys right there? He said, that's the guard bees. He said, now that's the ones you have to really respect, because anything that gets near the front of that nest, they're going to come after you, and they'll sound an alarm, and a whole host of them will come after you. They always came after me. I get within 10 yards of them. He said to me, now just don't hit him. Because if you hit him, he's going to make a sound, and you're going to be swarmed. But the interesting thing was, I know that there are bees. I don't see them do all of this. And I still marvel at how that bee in there can take this little morsel of stuff that the others bring in and turn it into this. This is the evidence of so much not seen. What's in your jar? Do you believe that God has a place of service for every one of us? What I'm trying to look at is what is not seen. Perhaps I'm looking for an evidence of what's not seen. May I suggest to you that my faith and your faith is not seen? If you see it, it's probably your own doing. It's the work of God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God. If it's something you can muster up, I'm going to tell you it's not the same kind of faith that comes from God. Because the faith that comes from God will make you righteous, not evil. And the faith that we have in ourselves too many times leads us down the wrong path. And we as Christians are to give evidence of what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of us. Faith works in and through us. Not by might, not by power, not by achievements, not by status nor position, not by what you know, but by the Holy Spirit being revealed in and through us in what appears to be unseen events. David's father never saw that woman. He saw elephants. That woman never saw David's father. She saw a God saying, this man needs help. Well, where did he help her without fooling with this woman? There may have been 50 other people praying at the same time. But the evidence is that God works in and through you and me. And when he can't find you and me to work for him, he will find somebody else. There are other bees out there. I wonder what's in our jar. I wonder what's going on unseen in our lives that will allow others to say, ah, there's honey in the jar. It's not hatred. There's not malice. There's love and kindness and gentleness and holiness. What's being seen? Whatever else is seen, God, as the Creator God, must be revealed. Our world creates too many other kinds of gods. We need to let him be seen in us every day. We need to get away from this God we create and get back to the God of creation. We want big buildings. We want programs to bring great crowds. We want a certain environment in our church. We call it a worship service. We want good offerings. We want great suppers. We want people to brag about our social work. We want a God who gives us what we ask for. We want Santa Claus. We want one who makes us look good. Now, keep in mind, I'm simply sharing with you what I'm trying to study about. I'm not trying to get you to agree or disagree or approve or disapprove. I just want to give you something to think about. Are you okay with that so far?
Yeah.
You still got your bottle going? That's okay. Not that kind of bottle.
Well, you're meddling now.
Well, let me go back to Romans 1:8. Romans 1:8.
Dr. Henneke, he'd be so proud of you.
No, he wouldn't. He said, bury it. 1:8 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you. I really do. And that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Wow. Faith in God and Christ Jesus in Rome. In Rome. How about in Washington? Rome, the capital city of the Roman Empire. He said it's spoken throughout the whole world. Now, I don't know how much of the whole world Paul knew about. But he's excited enough to say, fellas, everybody's talking about the faith is in Rome. Hang on now. Because I'm praying that that's going to happen in our national capital. And like Rome, it will happen only when true believers unconditionally submit to God and His gospel, revealed in the birth, the life, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, the God-man. And let me remind you, Trump and Clinton hold no candle to those people who were leading Rome at the time Paul was writing his letter. That's some hope, isn't it? God is not limited by who's in command. Perhaps by who will or who will not follow His command. We've got a big job ahead of us, folks. But it's not bigger than God. These Christians were in Rome. Do you realize what was going on in Rome at this time? Christians were being persecuted. Not just persecuted. They were being killed. They were being turned out. And Paul says, yeah, but your faith is going throughout the world. Everybody hears about your faith. Wow. You have any suggestion that will help me better understand what the whole world is witnessing that allowed them to speak so highly of these people, these Christians in Rome? What is going on in these Christians in Rome that the whole world out there would pay attention? I'm condemning myself as much as I am anybody, but we're missing something in this day and age. I'm here to tell you right now, the world is not talking about the Christianity of America. The Americans are not talking about the Christianity in America. Some way or another, we've got to refill the jar. Some way or another, we've got to get out there for them to see what is unseen and to hear what is not spoken. We have got to find a way to get the Holy Spirit to live through us so that they will begin to take notice, not of you and me, not of our church, but of a God who creates love and peace and justice. We've got suggestions, yes.
It reminds me of what Dr. Olmert said when he came back from Kenya after visiting the refugee camps. He was talking with a pastor, the guy that's in charge of most of the work in that area for the church. And he said, Dr. Olmert said, aren't you upset because the church cannot be open and out? And this pastor said, oh no. He said, when we're persecuted and we're behind doors and we're trying to do it wherever we can, the church grows.
Yeah.
And that's real faith.
Yeah. Could it be that some saw and others heard about God's power being displayed in and through Christians in the midst of all these terrible circumstances going on in Rome? How about maybe they witnessed how right, how faithful and merciful God has been all along? Not just among the Jews, but among non-Jews. My prayers, my life will evidence that. That even when I don't see it, it's out there. Not because of me and not because of what I do or what I say, but because the Holy Spirit will take what I say and what I am and what I'm doing and give it to the glory of God. Well, Romans 1:12. How am I doing on time, Bill?
15 minutes.
Okay. 1:12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. I'm ready to pick on us again. Mutual faith. To so many people, this presents a great contradiction. How can I or you, a Nazarene, a Church of Christ, a Baptist, Methodist, whatever, accept the fact that there are some German, Russian, Chinese, Israelites who share a mutual faith with you and me? Took me a long time to get over that, you know that? You know, the Baptist guys. And what about those Catholics? And now, of course, we're bringing in the Islamics. Is it possible that God can get through to the Islamics?
Yes.
There are a lot of peoples of that part of the world who are devout Christians who live a different life than you and I live. Some of those Christians in China and Russia and Israel, their life is on the line every day. Africa, other places, life is on the line every day. We don't even give it a second thought here, do we? We just go on and smile. Say, praise the Lord. They have a mutual faith with you and me. Now, the descendants of Abraham sure had a problem with this. You're aware of that, aren't you? Paul was keenly aware of this. How could the Gentiles, everyone outside of the Jewish faith, Hebrew faith, possibly have a mutual faith with God's chosen people? I think I've run across that a little bit in my lifetime. I think I saw it in the Jewish worship service. You remember that story? Oh, God, I am so glad I'm not like him. Boy, that's great faith. I think I've seen a little bit of that in my lifetime. Or I've even heard testimonies in church. I'm glad I'm not Catholic. I'm glad I wasn't born to a Catholic family. Oh, Lord, help us. Mutual faith. Mutual faith can be a very uncomfortable thing. But Paul is saying, we have a mutual faith. I just have to tell you, I really enjoy the mutual faith that flows through this room week after week. That carries on outside of this room. I need to remind you that Paul is a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And it's interesting to me that Paul talked about the Greeks, mutual faith between him and the Greeks, and he's writing to the Romans. Mutual faith going on. Well, 1:16-17, I'll probably not get through all this, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I think the King James Version puts it there, of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. What about the Romans? For therein, that is, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God's faithfulness to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. Or as sometimes it's translated, the righteous shall live from my faithfulness. Now, Paul was keenly aware of what was going on in Rome. And yet he says, in spite of all that's going on about the gospel in Rome, I'm not ashamed of it. I want to come and preach to you. I want to share the gospel with you. I have to admit to you, I think there have been some times in my life when the Lord probably thought I was ashamed of the gospel. I didn't respond in a situation that I should have responded in. I should have spoken up sometimes when I didn't. Something was missing. I missed an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to live in and through me. Paul's quick to say that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not your power, not mine. The power of God. I thought it was interesting, though, that Paul would try to tell the Romans that everybody out there, even the Greeks, are hearing about your faith. But what they're hearing is the work of God going on in the midst of you through all these difficult circumstances. I need to remind you, the gospel is not merely a book of great stories and marvelous events. The gospel tells us of the power of God to inhabit a perfect human being who would tell us how and reveal to the Word how to become one with the Creator and how to live like we believe in the true God. It reveals righteousness. It reveals holiness. It reveals otherness of the one true God. The unknown God to the Greeks and the Hebrews can be made known to you and to me through the gospel, through the Word, because it comes from God. Well, I need more time to ponder this part about faith to faith or faithfulness and faith. And so I think we are really encountering the faithfulness of God and the gospel as we seek to believe and have faith. And that what he says in the gospel is really true indeed. In fact, it is the truth. That's, I'm still working on that. Well, I'm going to have to close there, but I did want to tell you that Paul goes on to state, it is written, the just or the righteous will live by faith. Not that you can muster up or conjure up, but that will come through the grace of God. Father, help us to fill our jar with your love and grace and your mercy and forgiveness. Stamp your approval on us. Maybe just in our little world, people will say, God has been seen today. Use us in your kingdom work. Whatever the task may we glory in it because it's your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Amen.